What I call the beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where I start from. Interesting idea. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, who is always starting from the end. What I call the beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where I start from. Whether we like it or not, we know all things. We don't give ourselves credit for knowing all things. We don't give ourselves credit for being all things. We don't give ourselves credit for not having to think up something brand new, because there's nothing new anywhere, ever. Everything always has been, always will be. And when we think of something, it's merely our becoming aware of it, and that's beautiful. What I call the beginning is often the end. It is always the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where I start from. So, I would like to build a house. So the first thing I do is to take the house idea that I have and forget it and put a foundation down. First, I put the foundation down, but before I even put the foundation down, I have to put the location down. Where am I going to have that house? Is it going to be on a normal street in a normal city? Is it going to be out in the outskirts of the city, in the suburbs? Is it going to be out in the hills? Is it going to be in the mountains? Is it going to be on a river? Now, Gregor and Rochelle have just chosen a new location for them to live. And the house that Rochelle had was quite nice. A little creek in the backyard and so forth. But with all its niceness, it was a little bit small for all their needs. In the wintertime, when they entertained, they had to be rather cramped in that living room. Not much room to move around. So, Rochelle had lived in a lovely place before, out in the country, and it's a beautiful, large mobile home, and three bedrooms, two baths, the whole works, you know. And the price is approximately the same thing as what she's paying before. And so she thought that would be a good place to live because the people offered it to her. They're friends of hers. So she and Greg went out and looked it over and decided that this is what they're going to do. Well, they already knew that was where they're going to go because she had not only the mental picture in her head, she had already lived there. Not in that particular mobile home, but she had lived there in another one of the buildings on the ranch. So, for her, it was already done. For her, the foundation was in. For her, the structure was finished building. For her, everything was ideal. And for Greg, just a matter of moving the stuff from one place to another. So, he's going to move them later in July. And they're going to be very happy there. Greg says he'll have a room where he can do his own thing. And Rochelle will have her room where she can do her own thing. And Bailey will have a larger room where she can do all her things too. So, and their large living room, nice large kitchen, everything in pretty nice shape, you know. So they're looking forward to it. Now, the end is already there. The building is already there. It's already complete. There's nothing for them to think about. The only thing they think about is them moving in. Them being resident there. So they start at the beginning of them being the resident there. It's a new, wonderful thought, but it's the end, really. Because Bailey loves the house. And the reason Bailey loves the house, this is their 8-year-old daughter, is because Bailey's best boyfriend lived in that house before he moved to a bigger one. And so she has fond memories of that house with her boyfriend there. And she'll be having probably her boyfriend's room, you know, which makes her feel very happy and very content. So it's a pre-drawn program that they have. It's pre-decided, and they're going to move in, and they're going to be happy there. What I call the beginning is often the end. It's already done. It's already complete. It's already wonderful. And they'll be moving in just having a wonderful time. Now, what about you? Where would you like to live? Where would you like to have your residence? Where would you like to have your home, your program? Is every place you go ideal? If it's not ideal, you haven't taken yourself with you. If it is ideal, it's because you've taken yourself with you. Because wherever you go, your attitude's going to be there, your thinking's going to be there, and if you think that it's not very nice, it will be not very nice even though it were a palace. Even though, and the palaces aren't all that good, even though it were super wonderful as a place to be, an ideal house. But if you go there, now there's lots of people, which amuse me very much. They go to houses and they look at them to buy. And they say, I feel a coldness in this house. I feel a bad vibration here. And the realtor doesn't say anything, but they check with the neighbors. And the neighbor says, oh, yeah, there was a murder in that house, and there was this, and there was that in that house. And they say, oh, no wonder I didn't want to move in. And so they go to the realtor, and they say, hey, there was a murder in that house. And the realtor says, oh, yeah, so there was, you know. And if I take that house, I'm not going to take it at full price. Oh, you know, I want it for $100 less. And the realtor says, oh, is that, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. Is that all you want to want? Because he had already planned the amount he was going to charge for the house based upon the fact that they might find out and want to have a reduction in price. So he knows. Now, the people who are moving in that house where this murder had handled and where the bad vibrations were, they know what they're doing. They know that they're the master of it, and this is the beginning of the end. They have the end of somebody else's activity there and the beginning of theirs. Now, what's the first thing you or anyone else should do when they move into a house? You surround that house with your pure white light of love, your blessing, and anything that is inharmonious with whatever you are is now released from that house. And so whatever vibrations are in that house, whatever cold feelings in that house, is now totally released. And it has nothing to do with anything. You don't send it next door to bother the neighbors. You don't send it in the backyard. You don't bury it because there's nothing to bury. It's just a vibration. And so when you defranchise that vibration, when you take away its purpose and power, then it has no more purpose to be. But what I call the beginning is often the end. And it's the end of that vibration being there. Now, that someone was murdered there, and that very unhappiness was there, it may very well be. But just because somebody was murdered in a beautiful apartment building, do you think that the people who own the apartment building are going to put that off limits forever? No, they'll just clean it up and put new vibrations in there, and they'll call out their psychic or their Indian friends to come in and revibrate it. And that's great. That's great. And they come in, and they believe it. And so when they rent that to somebody else, they don't have to tell somebody there was a murder there or there was a terrible thing went on there, because it's gone. It's gone. It could have been another apartment. They could even renumber it, you know. And they oftentimes do. People don't like the 13th floor for some reason, so they call it the 14th floor. It's still the 13th floor. I mean, no matter how you look at it, just because it doesn't have the number, it's still the 13th floor. Well, now, don't you think that in buildings they can renumber them as they wish, you know, and just have a great time? So we are in charge of our life. We are in charge. No matter what the ending is, the beginning is where we start. The beginning is where we start, and it's already ready for it. It's already complete. There's nothing that we can create in this world that isn't already complete and already done. So what is it you'd like to create in this world? What is it you'd like to experience? Now, I was talking to Gregor about abundance. Now, and I said, Gregor, you're independently wealthy.
I've worked on that so long and it hasn't resulted in anything.
Of course you have. You worked on it so long. Gregor, start putting it in your thought, in your imagination, that it's already done. See it already done and shut up about it. Don't tell anybody else. Don't tell anybody else what your dream is. Just dream it and live like it. Live like a millionaire. Live like an abundant person. Live like you know how to do that very well. You are a very elegant person. So just live like that. And then you will have that experience outwardly the minute you inwardly have claimed it as yours.
But I worked on it so long. Shut up.
I don't want to hear that you worked on it so long. That's past. There's no more work to do. Now enjoy it. Mentally see yourself enjoying it.
Don't tell me you worked on it. Don't tell me any of your coming up periods. That's the end.
Now the beginning is that you're starting to live as a millionaire. And that's not very much these days. But you're starting to live as an independently wealthy as an independently wealthy person. And as an independently wealthy person, you have everything. So you visualize that for yourself. Now, every time you turn around, you visualize it. Greg always wanted a beautiful girl in his world, and he created them by the dozen. He had beautiful women in his life that just, you know, wouldn't stop. And they were lovely people. But then he said, well, what am I doing wrong? I said, well, you want to create one that's yours. And so he's working on creating one that's his. And he's got one that still likes him very much after knowing him for a number of months or maybe a number of years. No, really. And she hasn't gone off to look for somebody who is a little different in some way, you know. But Rochelle likes Greg, and Greg likes Rochelle, and Bailey likes both of them, and they're very happy together. So Greg no longer has to think of himself finding the perfect woman. He's already found her. He doesn't have to think of finding the perfect home. They've already found it, this beautiful mobile home. They don't have to think of a beautiful location for it. They've already found it. Now, what he wants to do is just find himself, or not find himself, but just imagine himself into that perfect job. Now, what perfect job does he want? Does he want a job that pays very well, or does he want a job that makes him feel very good? Now, you could have both, but you can't have both if you think that the two are separate. And he's been thinking the two are separate. And he has all sorts of wonderful jobs that he loves very dearly, but they don't pay much. And he's been offered well-paying jobs, but they were in another area. They would take him away from his sweetheart, you know, take him away from the wonderful area that he loves so much there. Now, we can imagine, just imagine yourself with the perfect job and the perfect amount of money coming in, you know, the perfect income, and see it done. Now, don't label it. Don't say where it is, what it is, how it is. Just say, I am so happy with my work. I am so fulfilled with my work. I just feel fantastic. It uses all of my talents in a glorious way. And I am well paid for my work. I have a beautiful income. I'm even independently wealthy, you know. And however that may come about, whatever that may be, see yourself that way. See yourself that way. And when you do, then you bring that miracle into place in your life. And it's not a miracle. It's just something very wonderful. It's something that is you. It's something that is fantastic. And it's something that is now. So claim that for yourself. Claim it right now. What I call a beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where I start from. See yourself fulfilled right now. Visualize it, imagine it, dream it, and watch it manifest. I love you, I love you, I love you.